You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
And I was thinking, you know what? You don't have to sing this song soft here. You don't have to. The neighbors love your voice. Just sing out. Just let it be heard. And so I began to let my voice be heard louder and louder and louder. Louder and louder and louder. Father, I thank you that our neighbors need to hear us sing louder. They need to hear our testimony. They need to hear the joy that's in our heart. They need to hear the resolve that we have set in our hearts as we worship you in the middle of everything. Everything. Lord, I thank you that you're filling us up in this season with a boldness that we've always had. We're singing a little louder. We're singing a little louder. We're singing a little louder.
Glory, 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 glory
say, come, 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 oh, Holy One, oh, we come face to face with you, 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 yes, we do. We say, come, oh, we say, come. Come, Holy One, come, Holy One, invade our neighborhoods, invade our states, invade our nations, invade our cities, invade our lives, continue to invade Corona and its impacts on the world. Do your beautiful work for this time, Papa. Do your beautiful work. Your perfect work and perfect love.
Thank you. back against you and green. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I'm melting your peace. Overwhelm me. I'm gonna stay at you.
Into our worlds today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you transcend everything. Thank you, Lord, that you overwhelm us with your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, your gentleness, your faithfulness. You overwhelm us today with who you are, and that we can know you so intimately, so personally. We can know you, we can commune with you, be saturated by your heart, by your love for us, God. You're so desiring to encounter us. You're so desiring to have that close connection with us. And we're here tonight because of you. Lord, may our words and may our hearts cry to you and the holiness of our worship before you, God, be just a sweet-smelling incense and aroma to you. Because we're here to minister to you. You've done it all. You're seated at the right hand throne of our Father. And Jesus, we just praise you tonight. And we thank you that we trust you. We trust you. You know, there's a sweet presence of the Lord here. And I'm trusting in your places as well. In your houses. Wherever you are here in other countries. I'd love to say hello to you, except I can't see the screen from here, so I don't know who's on and who isn't. But we welcome you, and we just thank God for your lives. And we thank the Lord that we can just minister in his faithfulness, with the faith of him, as well as faith in him. That's what he's calling us to in this season, in this day that we're in. So many things are on the front burner. That maybe we're pushed to the back burner, and now the Lord's saying, right here, right in your world, right in your own thinking, right in your own experience, you need me, and you need to know what I say, you need to know what I feel and what my thoughts are. So Lord, tonight, let your thoughts, which are definitely higher than our thoughts, let your thoughts be supreme, let them reign supreme. And let your ideas and your heartfelt affection for us just overwhelm us. Lord, that we get to a place where we don't even have to understand. That we will believe and that you're working in such a way that no matter how difficult circumstances are, we know that you are with us and we can trust you. So Lord, with that in mind tonight, and I just exhort all of us to join in this, that we can celebrate God by agreeing with heaven and pulling heaven down into this earthly realm. That's our call. And that's him. That's Jesus himself. He's not an idea. He's not a thought. He did do things, and he's always interceding for us. But our call to him is to commune with him, the person of Jesus Christ, the person of the Spirit of God who dwells in us as Jesus left this earth to reveal the fullness of the Father to us. So Holy Spirit would live inside of us and speak to us and lead us and guide us. And he never violates his word. He never turns against himself. He can't do it. It's impossible. So in this season, let it be that we care more about what you say than anything else. Because what you say ushers in peace, not division. Division is opposing visions that are divided. That's not God. We're just exhorting the body of Christ tonight, those who are linked with us in heart, in vision, with Frontline, and those who are in another place, that's fine. But if you are tracking and you're looking for a place to call home, and your vision starts matching with where our vision is from God, we believe it's a heavenly vision from God, we invite you to participate with us and connect with us. Everybody needs to find a tribe and then establish themselves in that tribe and dig deep roots in that tribe so that we can link arms together and not be in two opposing visions or division. It doesn't work that way. And the Lord will allow many things to come our way for that to be exposed in our hearts so that we can walk with vision together and not in conflict. That's God's heart. So we look forward to his vision being released even more today as we see it, as we are understanding, and then we say yes to your affections, Lord. We say yes to what you want to do. We want to share in communion today. And I'm really excited about this. I know there is going to be great breakthrough tonight for those, depending on what time of the day or night it is for you. If you're in India, it's a little bit different. So it's in the wee hours of the morning. But wherever you are, there's going to be something, there's going to be a shift, a great shift that comes inside of your heart. And he's calling us in these uncertain days to become very certain and very sure of our faith and very, very much tethered to the assurance that he gives us of our salvation. Where that lies with us, what that means for us and for those who are around. I've had the word righteousness just running through my soul for days. It's like righteousness of Jesus Christ. If we knew him in the area and the essence of his righteousness, we would understand Father's heart, Father's love. We would understand the privilege it is to be able to experience God's mercy. Because when he came to die for us and to take sin out of our experience, then we don't even have to sin anymore. But if we don't understand what righteousness had to do with anything, it'd be very difficult for us just to continue to step out in it. I got to encourage myself. I have to encourage myself always. You know, the early church needed to understand his righteousness, which was established in his covenant with us under the new and better covenant. We're going to talk about that later on tonight. Because I really believe that the righteousness of Jesus, the heart of righteousness that wants to overtake us and envelop us, is going to add to our intimate communion with him. Because the more that we receive and the more we experience and encounter the righteous one, where his righteousness overwhelms and overtakes us, we can't stop. We cannot stop talking about him. We can't stop letting others know who he is. We have a passion and a drive inside where nothing's too difficult. for the cost that we have to pay in this little life that we lay down will be nothing compared to the righteousness of Jesus Christ established in us. So our goal is to receive His righteousness, give it away, and bring this righteousness from heaven to earth as we are able to, because He's coming again and establishing us in a place of righteousness. And that's coming, where the King of righteousness, the King of glory, will be so evident, so made known, that every bit of suffering in this world, every bit of trial and tribulation in the times that we're living in, will pale in light of the righteousness of Jesus. We will see Him as that soon and returning mighty King of glory. We will have no problem singing hallelujah, proclaiming at the top of our lungs that You are great and worthy to be praised. You are the magnificent One. You are the glorious One. You are Majesty Himself. You are the King of righteousness. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of Your throne. That's who You are, Jesus. And we will run away from anything that would interfere with the establishment of that. There won't be a division. There won't be a difference of a vision for what God's doing. No. No. We'll be able to run together, link arms in such a way that we're going to run harder and faster. And no one's going to be left behind. But as I heard today from a well-known worship leader, Rick Pino, today, he was reminding us, he says, you need to find your tribe, because that's God. He establishes us in tribes, in the family, says. And that's going to be, there's going to be opposing vision, opposing division, because the enemy knows that's where the weakness will come, and that's where the severing can take place. And Rick was so cool when he said today, he said, you know, When things start to get a little strong, like, oh my gosh, there's a cost to pay. There's going to be something that's going to cost me. He says many times people get real squirrely and they can't deal with that. And I believe with the establishment of the Word and the establishment of His power and presence and His authority in our lives, that will not become an issue, or if it is, it will be able to be eradicated. And we will be able to walk in that righteousness. And then every decision that we make, where we're going, where we work, where we live, where we send our kids to school, what we do, will be based on that. Never, ever, ever wanting to lie before the Lord, L-I-E, because His righteousness is at stake. And He says, there's a scripture. If that's violated, it's not My righteousness. You know, Jesus is not a legalist, but He gave us thousands of years of the law to show us how big the gap was between us and Him with sin. And so when Jesus came to take sin into Himself, upon Himself, to be overwhelmed with sin that separates us from Father God, He laid His life down. He said, there's nothing that stands in the way of what I'm doing to be able to fulfill My end of the covenant for My Father in heaven, for mankind as well, to be able to rejoice in that covenant and say, because of My blood and the sacrifice of My body, I'm laying it all down for you so you can run as the champions that we are in Jesus. He's the high champion. He's the high champion. And He says, run. Run that race, beloved. And you will not be stopped. You will become unmovable, unshakable. How's that? In every way. Unoffendable. Unstoppable. You will become so radical that you will be a force to contend with. That's where we are. And that sends fear packing. So if you're sensing that or feeling that tonight, I'm just going to invite Haley to come. And before she gets into all of communion here, she's going to lead us into communion. I just want her to also pray for anything that would be hindering any of us right now from taking that step of just saying, Jesus, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here, and count me in. Go for it.
Oh. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can fellowship with you today, Father. That this is a moment where we can encounter you and know you, Father. That we can know you for who you really are, not who we think you are, Lord. So, Father, we're just inviting you right now, Lord, to come and encounter us, Father. That we might feel like we have trust issues, we might feel like we have blockages, we might feel like we have fear standing in the way of communing with you, Lord. But, Father, nothing can stop you. So, Father, we just lay ourselves down today before you, Lord, and invite you in. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here today. We want to hear what you're saying, Father. We don't want to hear you tainted with our own thoughts and our own opinions, Father. We just want to hear your pure voice, Lord. So, communion. Woohoo! I'm going to be in the Word a lot, so if you want to get out your Bibles, Luke 22 and Isaiah 11, I'm going to be flipping back and forth between the two. I'm going to start in Luke 22. Let's see, Luke 22, verses 19 through 22. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table." And if you heard Josh give communion on Sunday, he was using a different verse. He was talking about 1 Corinthians 11, but it was the same sort of thing here, just talking about what communion is and how the Lord broke bread and gave the cup. And Josh talked about what it means to remember him. What does "take this in remembrance of me" mean? Not just knowing that the Lord died on the cross and rose again for us, but who is the Lord? Remembering who he is. And when I hear things like that, my mind instantly starts asking a gazillion questions, and I'm like, well, who is he? Like, I know who he is, but who is he? And so today, as I was preparing, the Lord put Isaiah 11 on my... It just reminded me of Isaiah 11. And the very first couple of verses really clearly define who the Lord is. And Isaiah is a prophecy of the future. So this is before Jesus was there. But Jesus did fulfill this prophecy. And so this very clearly speaks of who Jesus is and was and still is today. So Isaiah 11. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." And all of these things, this is who Jesus was. He was a man. He was walking in flesh and blood. But he walked with the spirit of wisdom. He walked with the spirit of understanding. He walked with the spirit of counsel and might, with the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And in some versions, fear of the Lord is hearing and obeying the Lord. Verse 3, "His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." And I love verse 3, the beginning of verse 3, because at the end of verse 2 we hear the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, it's upon Jesus. And then verse 3, it clarifies that even more. Not only does he carry the spirit of the fear of the Lord, but his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And for me, that's just like how Jesus prioritized his life. And I feel like Jesus didn't even have priority lists like we feel like we do. It was just Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. It was just the Trinity right there all the time. He said, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. And I only say what I see my Father in heaven saying. You guys know that verse. I'm paraphrasing it. But Jesus's priority, his only priority, he didn't have a priority list. The only thing on his list was God, doing the will of God. And I feel like I want to grow. We want to grow in maturity. We want to grow in desiring for the spirit of the fear of the Lord to rest on our lives. And And I feel like this verse, it just speaks to who God was, like how, I mean, we know. The spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding. And then in verse 3, he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes or decide by the hearing of his ears. Jesus was humble enough to allow the spirit of wisdom and understanding to rest on him. And that allowed him to judge with righteousness as opposed to judging by what he was seeing or hearing or feeling in the moment. And when we enter into communion, we're entering into a deeper, intimate relationship with the Lord, where we can really commune with Jesus and say, I'm taking part of your body. I'm taking part of your blood. Like, I'm connecting with you in this super deep, intimate way where I can allow myself to become humble. So I can allow myself to be in a place where the spirit of the fear of the Lord can rest on me. Where the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding can rest on me, where I'll be willing to judge the world around me in righteousness, not by what I see or what I hear or what I think or what I feel is right. And so let me move on. Verse 10, in Isaiah 11, verse 10, I skipped a little bit. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. And right now I'm reading out of the New King James Version, and it says the Gentiles shall seek him. In other versions, it says the nations will rally to him. And when I read the word rally, I immediately thought of my brother playing baseball. And if you guys know, the rally cap is for the underdog. And this is fitting because the Pirates are an underdog. So in baseball, if your team is losing and you're the underdog, it's like, all right, let's get this together. Everybody in the dugout puts their rally caps on. They turn their hats inside out and wear them at funky angles. It's called a rally cap. It's like, it's this signal to the team, like, let's get all together. Let's gear ourselves up. Let's get it. This is our moment. Let's do it. And then when I also think of rally, I think of just jumping up and getting behind a leader who shares the same vision as you do. Right now we see the Democratic National Convention happening. Next week is the Republican National Convention. Like, we see people rallying behind their leaders, the people that they want to be their leaders. And I'm looking at this word rallying, thinking to myself, who am I rallying for in this time? Because there's such a rallying happening in our nation. There's such a rallying going on. Who am I rallying for? And the word spells it out very clearly, who I should be rallying behind. The nations rally to the Lord. They gather to him. They come out of the woodworks and they just rush to him. I want to rally behind the man who's a banner over my life. I want to rally behind the man who walks in the spirit of wisdom and understanding. He knows exactly what he's doing. And I have no idea what I'm doing. And so today I just want to enter communion in this place of, like, not this place of seeing myself as an underdog, of I need to rally, I need to grit my teeth, I need to get it together. Not this. I mean, this is how the world rallies. This isn't how we should rally. We rally by communing with the Lord. We rally by submitting our lives to the Lord. We rally by humbling ourselves as Jesus did and allowing the spirit of the fear of the Lord to rest on our lives.
Yes.
And that means setting things down instead of picking things up for battle. We're setting our things down. We're setting down our fears. We're setting down our boundaries. We're setting down our families, our lives, our schedules, everything. We're setting everything down before him and allowing him to rework and remold. We're that clay. He's the potter. And so I just want to enter communion today remembering who the Lord is and also coming at it from this angle of, Lord, I'm going to remember who you are. And at the same time as I'm remembering who you are, I'm laying myself down before you so that all of who you are can fill me up. If I lay myself down, I'm completely empty. I'm completely humble. I'm completely laid out, and he can do whatever he wants with me. He can, our fears are out of the way.
Yes.
If we lay ourselves down, our fears are out of the way, and he can do what he wants with us. And we don't have to be afraid of that. I'm going to finish by reading Isaiah 12 as a prayer over communion. It follows right after Isaiah 11. I just happened to keep reading it, and I was like, wow, this is great. But Isaiah 12 talks about trusting the Lord and knowing what we get in return for laying ourselves down before him. We get all of him, but it's good for us. It's better for us in the end anyways, even if it doesn't make sense to us. So let's prepare our hearts for communion, and I'm going to pray Isaiah 12 over us. O Lord, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. So, Father, we just, in 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about how when we take communion, it's actually a declaration, an announcement, a proclamation of Jesus' death. And our submission to the Lord is another announcement, another declaration to ourselves, but also to the world, that this is who Jesus is. This is the best way we can share who Jesus is, by allowing ourselves to be submitted to the Lord. And then when he says move, we're able to move in a very pure, clear, concise, effective direction. So, Father, we just lay ourselves down before you today, Lord. We just come to the altar before you, Father, and empty ourselves completely, Lord. And, Father, if we feel like we're struggling to empty ourselves, Lord, we're just trusting you, Father, that you're going to help empty us before you, Father. Take those burdens from us, Father. We're offering them to you now, Lord. And let us remember who you are, Father. Let us remember who you are, Jesus. Everything that you did. This moment be a loud declaration to our own hearts, Father, that this is who my allegiance is with, Lord. That I'm rallying behind you, Father. I'm not rallying behind anyone else. I'm just rallying behind you today, Lord. This is my declaration. This is my proclamation to my own heart. This is who Jesus is. I just ask that you would continue to speak to our hearts and minds the rest of this service and the rest of this evening, Father. That you would continue to break down our barriers, Lord. That we would continue to just seep in the fullness of who you are. And that as we take communion now, Father, we're just saying, this is my declaration, this is my proclamation, this is who I am, this is who I'm going to be in the future. That my allegiance is with you, that I'm rallying to you, I'm gathering to you, Father. So we just declare that right now, Father, as we have this special intimate moment with you, Lord. Because you're worthy of it all, Father. Thank you.
know, as we commune with the Lord and we're considering His words so strongly, thank you, Haley, for that, we must remember that when the Lord gives us the prototype of Jesus, He's saying to us, there's so much more to discover in Jesus. And He wants us to enjoy Him and be enjoyed by Him. So as we're communing with Him, and in the midst of all of the struggles and the things that we all know we're facing here in this country, but also around the world, there's always hope. There's hope in Jesus. There's hope for every person who's suffering. I was listening to a testimony and an encouraging word that Heidi was giving, Heidi Baker in Mozambique, last night. And my heart was just enwrapped with pain for one of the ladies who was had experienced such trauma and such difficulty. I'm sure to her it might have known, she might have felt like this was the early church to her, because she returned to her village. This is in northern Mozambique. And her husband was being killed. He was being decapitated, and her father as well. And as she began to give her testimony, she was choked up and she was overcome. That kind of persecution is happening, beloved, all over the world. And so many people are displaced. You know, their homes and belongings, everything is gone, their loved ones. And many are suffering for their faith because they won't turn away from Jesus. And others are suffering because they're part of, you know, the collateral damage, so to speak, when evil reigns and evil is not stopped. So we have a place in this world to know how to deal with what God says clearly to us in Ephesians 6, and to understand what our battle is and what we're supposed to do in the midst of that battle. At the same time, feasting our eyes on this beautiful Jesus that we've been thinking about and hearing about and declaring and worshiping and saying, only by You, Jesus, can we endure. And You're calling us to endure to the end. And so there's hope, because Jesus always has an answer. And even in the midst of the chaos, and chaos for us might be struggling with what we're going to do financially, you know, in our own family circles, it might be struggling with the pain that's in our families who are suffering physically and having all kinds of emotional and physical trials and difficulties. So there's a lot of places where we're crying out, going, Jesus, I just need peace. And I need that overwhelming, steadfast peace to just take me over, because You promised that. Because this is just more than I can bear. Whatever it would be, whatever extreme we think it is for us, Jesus is always the solution and always the answer. And He is hope Himself. There is nothing too great for Him at all. So Pastor Bill just finished 28 chapters of Acts, the book of Acts, for the last number of weeks and months, here on Tuesday nights, and also in the mornings at Frontline on Sunday. And it was just such a rich time to be able to see what happened after Jesus died and rose, and then what happened to establish the early church. What was it like for the very beginnings of what Jesus went to the cross for 2,000 years ago, and what people needed to go through, had to go through, and what needed to be established for them to be able to keep going and to see the Christianity that we know today be able to rise, and even beyond that. And maybe we've lost some of the beginning fervor. Not maybe. I think that has been lost over the many, many centuries. But I believe the Lord is reestablishing things in this time. 2,000 years later, He's saying, listen, this happened 2,000 years ago, and He's the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. And so as we explored the book of Acts, and we were taken through line by line, precept upon precept, and applying those chapters to our own lives and the lives of those around us in our own region, in our state, our nation, what's going on in the world today. You know, it's very important to have shored up and secure foundations to be able to say, I am established. I studied to show myself approved. And I know what the Word of God is saying. and I'm open to greater revelation, greater announcement, so to speak, from the Word, as I am able to then sing out from the depths of my heart, wherever I am, to always praise the Lord, to always rejoice in the Lord, even with tears streaming down, because God is good. And we're here not only just to declare and decree that, but for that to overtake our hearts, so that we'll step in and take many risks. And then we'll be able to hold inside of us the answer to life himself and life itself, and to be able to offer it to other people. If people hold us back, if their hand is like this, I don't want to see, I don't want to hear, I don't want to receive, that's the most difficult, really, because then who you have and who is revealing things to you isn't able to then come out and be expressed. And then the Lord shows us how to deal with that as well. He has very strong and sure ways of helping us navigate through difficult times and seasons and sometimes years and decades, because his hope and his promises for us and our loved ones and those that we're standing in the gap for are yes and amen. And he gives us the ability to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint, and to be steadfast and to be able to endure to the end. And so with that in mind, we're going to see what God's going to do for this section of Fire and Wind, and even on Sundays, what the Lord's heart is for the preparation of what's to come. Not just seeing what used to be and what happened before. And that is love, that is powerful, and we need to see that. And we need to apply what we see. But we also need to say, Lord, I need to become so established that whether I'm imitating Paul, as he said very clearly in his scriptures, imitate the life that I lead, which is totally laid down, or someone else, ultimately Jesus himself, then we're able to do that. And we're able to say, Lord, but for you, I couldn't do this. I couldn't endure prison. I couldn't be going through some of the persecution that I hear about on Facebook or read in the news or hear on the news. Lord, what could I do? You know, what would that be like? I can't even think about it. I'm just so balled up in what's going on in my own world. But as we said and sang out beautifully before, we know that the Lord is wanting us to become so sure in our hearts of his unstoppable move of love that we're able to experience the revelation of how good God is over and over and over again. So that our Father, who is so good, his love for us, his sons and daughters, is so strong that we will know that, and we'll be able to navigate through anything, because God, you're good, nevertheless, maybe with tears streaming down. You're good, and my hope is in you, and I trust you, and I will not be led astray. I will not fall into deception. I will not stare when someone is telling me something that is true. I will not allow that, by your grace, for that to happen. The only way we can say those things is to be sure of our covenant. Become so sure that we are tracking with our Papa in heaven so strongly that we will not bank our life on an idea or something we think must look a certain way. Because if we do that, we may be limiting the very nature of the one who is ultimately supreme in character and in essence in every way. And he will reveal himself to us any way that he wants, because he's God and we're not. And he will establish himself in us that way. He'll allow us to discover him that way. He wants us to discover him. He's a treasure. And he wants us to see clearly, even though the scriptures tell us that still dimly we see him. We prophesy in part, we know in part, and the fullness is yet to come, the full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as strongly as we can receive and know and hear is what we want to contend for in this season in our life, knowing that the great awakening of the Spirit of God is upon us, and he is wanting to decree and declare, wanting us through his word by the Spirit, decree and declare, what is he doing right now? We want to be like the sons of Issachar. We want to know, what are you doing? If I don't understand it, I'm okay, but Show me what I can't understand. I will hunt for you because I want to be with you. Not just an idea, not a way, not something to make me feel better, but I want to be with you. You, it's the person of Jesus Christ. I want to be with you. And that's to shake us up. So I was asking the Lord, what would I share today? And he said, open up scriptures, open up Hebrews. And so we are well versed in Hebrews, and we skip around to in chapters 9, chapter 10, chapter 6, chapter 12, and we'll see if the Lord wants to continue to lead us this way, because there has been a strong desire in our hearts also to just unpack Revelation even more, but without the assurance of and the ultimate truth bearing witness in our soul for every aspect of the person and the nature and the majesty of Jesus Christ, I believe that we could have some issues and problems even in the book of Revelation. There's all kinds of crazy things out there. So we don't shy back from that. But we'll see how the Lord wants to mix this up. I don't know, maybe he'll have us go back to a chapter in Acts to refresh something that will piggyback a particular chapter in Hebrews. Let's see how he wants to unpack this for us, for what vision he's given us, which is for the nations, beloved. It is for the streets. It is for our neighbors. It is for our own encountering of the beloved one who will let no stone stay unturned inside of us, if that's what we're desiring and that's what we're praying for. And I believe that's what we are praying for and wanting, at least the company of people that I know and are connecting here. And if not, may that happen, and may that be the case tonight. Amen? So I just wanted to just say, give a few highlights, and maybe this is elementary for some. I've taught Hebrews before and other books of the Bible, as Pastor Bill has as well. But let me just say a few things that might help unpack this for some who haven't really understood or thought about Hebrews much. And let me just say that the book of Hebrews, I'll just start off with, was possibly written in Rome. There is much evidence that it was. It could have been written around the time of the Emperor Nero, when the great fire took place in the late 60s, destroying, but it's not 100% fact, in the sense that there are differing opinions from what I've read and understand. And many say the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews. And the second century came, and there were debates after that, because the tone and the style was a little bit different than Acts and some of the other epistles. Although Timothy is referred to as son in chapter 13, I believe it is. And so we know that Timothy was a son of Paul, and we do know that there were friends around Paul. But we don't know if, there's still that debate. So suffice it to say that we'll call Paul the author right now, and anybody else that God chose to use. So somehow he was influenced, because this book was written in the latter half. And it's so interesting. Some places I've read said, anywhere between 63 and 67. And others say, it could be all the way up to the second century. I said, all right then. So it's very, very strong. And it's broken down into three main areas. And the first main area is talking about the supremacy of Christ. It starts out in chapter 1, and it goes through up to about chapter 4, verse 13, just talking about Jesus and talking about angels and talking about ways of the prophets, and that Jesus is supreme above anything, above any revelation that has been used to bring God into man's world, so to speak, from the Old Testament. So that's very important to establish in those first few chapters. And we're going to look at that in chapter 1 right now. In chapter 4, it's really interesting. There's a lot of talk in 3 and 4 about the Israelites and what they did right and what they didn't do right and what it was like to actually rest in the Lord and where they missed it and how we can learn from those kinds of things. So that's all in the first four chapters. And then the next place starts talking about, it's from chapter 4, verse 14, up until about chapter 10, verse 18 or so. And in that second part, there's three parts, three main parts. In that second part of Hebrews, there's an establishment of Jesus being the mediator between God and man, and what that mediation really looked like. And it's really fun to go through that and see it unpacked, as we heard a little bit tonight from Haley. And it's just very helpful in us going, yes. So, you know, it's very, very endearing to us to be able to be very clear, and so that we can speak to the right people, not just encourage ourselves, but since this book was written for the Jewish Christians, many people say it's kind of a rhetorical exegesis, so to speak, for the Jewish people, who were people who said yes to Jesus, but they were Jewish, and many of them spoke Greek because the Septuagint, written in Greek, was referred to so much in this book. But those people were getting a little shaky during this time. There was so much persecution, which we've heard about for weeks and months with the Apostle Paul talking all about Acts and leading in all his missionary journeys and everything. But there was so much difficulty with the explosion of the early church, the explosion of what it was like in the early Christian days, and the great outpourings and the great revivals that were taking place, and what everybody had to go through, and what it was like for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then another great revival came, and what that was like, and all the things that Paul and his buddies and everybody else had to go through, and all the healings and all the deliverances, and just the miraculous outpouring of God himself at the very beginning. It's just like, I love Acts. I can go through it again and just go, yes, Lord, more and more and more. And then couple that with more in-depth understanding of why Jesus came. Why was he crucified? What does it mean that he is the mediator between God and man? Why is that so important? And how big is that gap that we heard about when we were talking about between God and man? And to understand that more and more and more. And not just say, Lord, I'm praying for more revelation of the cross. Give it to me as I worship you, which is good. But reading in the Word, wow, oh my gosh. And then when I sing out, I can sing out everything about Jesus himself through this book. Mm-hmm. So it's another book of Revelation, really, which is what the final book, Revelation, is about. It's the beginning of Jesus from the beginning of time all the way through to the end when we reign with him. That's so exciting. And so we'll probably be jumping in and out and back and forth as the Lord leads. Just wanted to give you a little bit of a taste of that as we go through this. Some of the things to even think about and consider with the book of Hebrews. You know, if we're familiar with Hebrews chapter 12, it's like, oh yeah, there's a great cloud of witnesses. Oh yeah, we've got a good father who likes to discipline his kids. Oh yeah, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. And we're really good at quoting very important verses that are timely and extremely noteworthy, and we can bank our entire lives on this for sure. But if we can put a context from the very beginning of what our Father in heaven says, oh my goodness, I think that can encourage us to take another step in depth right after finishing Acts. You know, it's so exciting. It's an exciting time because the Lord is establishing us in the areas of worship all around the world. You know, let's all worship God, and let's cry out for a healing worship revival. Yes, God, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's been prophesied in Canton, Ohio. It's going to happen around the world. We went to the Send in Brazil in January, and everybody's going to be sent as missionaries around the world. All these wonderful things that have been decreed and declared. And the Lord is saying, yes, and they're all true. But let's get a context now. So when you are worshiping God himself, yourself, at home, you are entering and encountering him every day. All day, every day. Because that's what we're going to need, beloved. That's where this is going. And there are people who will follow and listen, because your fire will be so bright. You will be just illuminated with the fire of the baptism of love, of holy love. Our love for Jesus will grow deeper, I believe, as we just chew on this word and revisit and watch the videos in the last few months. They're explosive. It's an entire series on the book of Acts from a very anointed
apostle here who is an outstanding teacher and many other things as well. But it's really good stuff. And it's like, Lord, we're always exhorted to go beyond the book of Acts, but Lord, we're not even there in our understanding and maybe practical walking out in so many ways. But that can change at a moment because of our miraculous God. And the fact is, we can't make anything happen anyway. It's going to be His power, His miracle-working power, us contending for more of Him, so that great outpouring that is prophesied all around the world for such a time as this is a now thing, and that we are not going to be dismayed in any way. And we're not going to be fooled. And if we do get fooled, we're going to wise up, we're going to repent, and we're going to declare before the Lord, Lord, may it never happen again on my watch, in Jesus' name. Not an inner vow, but a request from God that we would see clearly, and then we really would be able to walk in the fullness of the healing and deliverance anointing that belongs to us. Because the Lord has to test that. He does. Because, you know what? When you start praying for healing and deliverance for people, year after year after year after year, it's very easy to become kind of like, I've seen that, done that. We never saw that with the Apostle Paul. We saw just an awe. Oh my God, look at this guy. Or anybody else that was described, you know, in the book of Acts. They were just like, this is incredible. But that's where God wants us to live in this season. And as things unfold, this might even feel or seem scary. It's like, okay, Lord, you know what I want to see for the election in November. But you're God, and I'm not. And no matter what, I am stable, I am secure, and I am on fire. Okay? And not just worried or taking care of me or me, myself, and I. It's others. And be able to see and detect and say, that's not okay. No, we can't have sin entering the camp. Why? Because it's going to interrupt the revelation. The Lord's saying, I am going to help you remain steadfast. I am going to help you remain sure of your salvation. I am going to be the one that is going to reveal the depths of your faith so strongly that you will not be able to be shaken or moved. And when you're worship leading or worshiping yourself, and you're not a leader on a team or something like that, but you're worshiping in the courtroom of heaven, in the throne of God, you're worshiping with the Lord, you'll have the word so strongly in your heart that you'll worship the word, okay? And then it will change you on the inside of me. Our behavior will match what we sing. Because if it doesn't, there's a real problem. And the enemy knows it. So we're going to find out what God says about that. And I just wanted to give a little, you know, just a little stirring about the book of Hebrews and how wonderful we think this book is. It's so amazing.
Yes,
so great. And when we give prophetic words, which we do here every time, every Tuesday, or try to, that we're saying, all right, Holy Spirit, give me something that is you. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so we have prophets in this house for sure. And we have the spirit of prophecy moving here. We have the gifts of prophecy moving, the gift of prophecy. Yes, and we need to understand how they come together, how they work, how they flow, what that looks like, and not be afraid of anything. But be able to stand up and represent Jesus fully, because He's worthy of it. He is our divine everything. Yes. He's so magnificent. Mm-hmm. He's so great.
Yes.
So yay to you, Jesus. So I just wanted to, if you have your Bibles, this is a kind of a short chapter. It's just a kind of a teaser, but it's loaded. It's not really long. And it is different than Acts. You'll see it. But I just want to read this. And mine's out of NASB right now, and I love many different translations, but I'm reading it out of NASB. So if you, a New American Standard Version Bible. So if you would like to open your Bible or get your phone out or something, this would be good. But it says here in chapter 1, and the first three verses are really cool because it's our Father speaking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Paul's not identified there, or anybody. So that's why the debate is still kind of out there. So, you know. It's the canonized word of God, so we know that. And Paul, praise the Lord, for whatever reason. Some people even said, well, there was so much persecution that the author didn't want to be identified. It doesn't sound like Paul, but, you know, don't know. I guess the persecution here. This really was to help people stand. And also, as I was reading, just kind of reminding myself and reading about this, you know, a lot of the Jewish people were thinking, this is crazy. The one I was standing for, I thought he was coming as a military man, and he didn't. Even though it was prophesied, he's coming as a high priest, but where is he? Mm. And I'm also seeing others, and I'm seeing that they're encountering this great God, and they're giving their lives. But I see what's going on over here, and I'm feeling a little shaky. So, you know, there's a lot of, oh, no. So there was this strong call in Hebrews to establish people in their faith really strongly. It's like, all right, it's a book to the Hebrews. Hebrews, hello, people. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, that's you. Don't go back to the synagogues. No, no, no. You've been freed, and now you're going to be reminded of where you came from. And what you were freed from, and what you're free to. It's both, freed from and freed to. And that's for us.
Yes,
it's like really cool. So anyway, that's just wanted to add that. God, verse 1 says, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. So in other words, the prophets did all the hearing from God, right? And spoke and told everybody, this is what God says. Okay, so that's the establishment to validate the fact that this is a whole different deal. Whole new covenant. Whole new way of thinking. Whole new world. Don't give up. It really is this messy. Yeah, and what you thought was going to be so good really is. And it's for eternity. Let me tell you more. So God has to do that in the very first verse because times were tough. And if tough times continue to happen with us because it's prophesied, and you know in Revelation it looks like all kinds of things can happen here, and we're just unpacking that as we speak. Book of Revelation is being opened up in so many ways that people could become fearful, and people could think other things about Jesus or make excuses. And the Lord's saying, no, 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 be solid. Let your foundation be strong. Let it be firm. So verse 2 says, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. So Jesus is an appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Okay. Well, I guess you're preeminent. I guess you're one with the Father. I guess that says you're deity. I guess that says you are the top supreme God that we are to bow our knee to. And that's in the first two verses. Listen to verse 3. And he, I love this. This is Jesus. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Those words are actually found also in the book of Colossians in the first couple chapters. And so when we read those, and it's like, oh my gosh, I read that in Hebrews too. Wow, that's a big deal to God. When we sing out, worship leaders, let's sing out what the word says. You know? You are the exact representation. You are the radiance of his glory. Why not? Because this is what he says. And bring us, and this happens at Frontline, but I'm encouraging other ones who might not think about that. But as you're singing out, sing out the words in the scriptures, sing them out, and bring people around a rallying point of he is the center. He is our focus. But why? Why? Because he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And then this book is going to prove that. So this is starting in the very first couple of verses, and then it will be proven, so to speak. The Word of God is the proof, the Logos Word of God, of who God says he is. And then we get to experience him. We get to experience the exact representation of his nature and exact radiance of his glory. It says, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. That means all things. All is all. All is all. So all is all for all things in our lives. All. And I think if we all believed that, all of us, if we all believed that, the all would make such a difference. I might write a song called All, unless it's already been written. I don't know, or write a book or something about all, just all, because all means all. And so if our heart he is connecting with who he says he is, we will be in perfect peace. Because this book is going to teach us how to become steadfast, especially the last portion of scripture from chapter 10 through chapter 13. God is really good. He's going to help us remain steadfast and endure to the end and be able to run the race and persevere. He's saying persevere now so that as you're up and coming, as strong prophets in the making, that you're not wiped out. Okay? To do something or to believe something that is not the nature and the character of God, no matter what you think. And that you will be taught and you will be moved so that you'll become unshakable, unmovable, and unstoppable. That's what God wants, because he knows the enemy's like, oh my gosh, that man's dangerous. I've got to fool that man. I've got to fool that woman. And there is a way to know. This book is clear. He's very clear. So he gives us those opportunities. If we just dismiss them because they're uncomfortable, that's foolish. We don't want to be foolish in this season. We want to be wise. Wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's so good. It says, when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When he had made purification of sins. Just spend time in the first three verses and have fun with that tonight before you go to bed. So it's like you did what? You had made purification of sins and then sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay, so it's real. And that's how we're starting out. We're not starting out introducing the baby in the manger anymore. No, no, no. We're telling you who this Jesus is. Mm-hmm. Who was the same as a baby in the manger, but he needed to fulfill what he was called to do. What's right there, first three verses. So have a good time with that. Read it in different versions. Verse 4, having become as much better than the angels. Now there's a whole section here from this verse through verse 14. And this whole section is talking all about angels. And there's references to Psalm 2 and Deuteronomy and many, many different places because angels were commonplace in the beginnings of the church and also in the Old Testament. So it was commonplace. It was still unusual, still supernatural. But people had to come to terms with, no, Jesus is not the same as an angel. Mm-hmm. And we, made in the image of the Lord, are not the same as angels.
That's
we
right.
bear the DNA of our Father. That's the exact right. representation of our Father is in us. Mm-hmm. And angels, are even as they're glorious and amazing, mm-hmm. and they have specific purposes as flames of fire, as mm-hmm. ministering spirits, they do not hold the place that we do. Mm-hmm. And that should bring us into such a place of, oh, he loves me. He really loves me right now. So I need to stop complaining and whining because he really loves me.
Yes,
sorry,
Lord.
God.
Yes, Lord.
How many times do we repent? Mm-hmm. I repented today. How about you? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, okay, yes, this is so convicting. Mm-hmm. This is the convicting spirit of God.
Yes.
Yes, God, I love it. Oh, the conviction of the Holy One is so great, isn't it?
Yes.
Because he wants us to be convicted. And there's a big difference between conviction and condemnation. How many people believe that? Mm-hmm. Everybody would say yes. Mm-hmm. But how many people really believe that? Mm-hmm. And here they're saying yes, or some of them. But I would say that when we touch into the condemnation area, we really are not believing. Mm-hmm. And the enemy's going, gotcha! Oh, yay, this is good. There's a world changer in the making. Let's see if I can mess with that one. Mm-hmm. Your condemnation. So we want a fresh baptism of love every day. So we are so in love with this amazing God that nothing will be too big and nothing will stop us, even if we have no idea what we're doing. Join the crowd. Because we're all just going, I don't, what's next here? I don't know. Okay. Oh God, you're good. Okay, so verse 4. Having become as much better than the angels, he has inherited a more excellent name than they.
Yes.
Yes, I think that's true. For to which the angels did he ever say, you are my son. Now this is God the Father saying, you are my son. Capital S-O-N. Okay, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Question mark. In other words, hello, I'm God and you're not. That's what I'm saying. And that's what the truth is. So it doesn't matter. No, whatever you've gone through, even this delightfully hope-filled, by the end, lady in Mozambique, who I'm crying with, Heidi who's crying, who's crying with this lady, by the end, she was dancing. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't see her exactly, but part of the outpouring of ministry, you know, in the midst of crying and hurting with people, but giving them hope and giving them healing and giving them the correct way to see what's going on. And if we can do that, we'll do that because we've been baptized in love ourselves. Yeah. And we know his word, and we are so sure and so strong. And that what will come out of our mouth will be things like this. Mm. That's what will come out. Let me tell you about my Father in heaven. Do you know what he said about Jesus? Do you know that he's seated at the right hand of the Father? Yeah. Right hand of the majesty of God, who calls him Son. Let me tell you what he's done. Let me tell you who he is. And that'll be inside of us more and more and more. And then in verse 6 it says, and when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Amen. I think that's good. And I think that's established. But we really, you might think, well, maybe there's people who believe that angels are people to worship. It's not me. Okay, that's true. Probably the ones listening here. Unless you do worship angels, and then you have to quit. But and repent. But the point is that this needs to be said because we are trying to raise the bar in our thinking, okay, of who Jesus is, so that we will not step back from something difficult. We will step in and go, I'm going to have that conversation. Because that conversation makes me a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to have that conversation because it's needed for clarity of mind. It's needed for truth. This is the Word of God is true. So I need to have these conversations. And I need to help this person get out of the trap that they might be in. And then verse 7 reads, and of the angels he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Again, another definition. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. And there's the first mention of righteousness. And we'll be speaking about that throughout whatever happens after tonight. Because righteousness, I just can't get it out of my mind. It's just righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. Very strong. We'll be speaking a lot more about righteousness. But his righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. So any righteousness is the representation and the establishment of kingdom. So if we're supposed to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, that doesn't mean that everything is going to be picture perfect and happy days are here. No, because we know that that would be very strange, because in heaven there's no crying, there's no tears, there's no pain. But on this earth we have crying, tears, and pain while we're bringing the kingdom. Is it ever going to be? Will there be no crying, no tears, and no pain? No, that's the kingdom of heaven completed. But we are to invade this world with the King himself. Amen. And that's what we need to do. And there's a big difference there. And that can mess with your thinking on all kinds of things. We'll talk about that later. Ooh, verse 9. You have loved, second time, righteousness, and hated lawlessness. So it's the opposite of lawlessness. Righteousness is the goodness of God versus lawlessness, which has no bearing other than the enemy being the proponent of rising up against God himself. And we don't want to be caught in that trap of agreeing with lawlessness in any way, be it the election, be it for our own personal friendships. Think of things that are difficult for you to do and you just want to go, no, 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 la, 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 la. The Lord says righteousness needs to be your entire intent in your heart. Righteousness will help us in every way. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companion. Oh, this is good. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all become old like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. Now, that's all the way through verse 12. Now, is that Father God? Is that Jesus? If he's the exact representation of our Father, this is about both, isn't it? Think about it. But this is about Jesus. But the Father is the same. They are the same nature. The same. Exact representation of his nature, and holds all things by the word of his power, the radiance of his glory. Verse 3. Go back to verse 3. Isn't this good? Verse 13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand? Now, I mean, obviously that's Papa. That's our Father God. Until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Jesus was a forerunner. Jesus was a pioneer and is a pioneer. He's our high priest. He is everything that he's calling us to run and be. He's telling us that we are to carry and become like him. So the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of him, is so part of who we are. We'll do anything. We'll look at something and go, do I really want to do that? No. But when I say yes to that, that's showing love to somebody else who will read that as a loving sacrifice. So I'll do it. Because that's loving that person. That's their language at that moment. That doesn't mean they won't hear the rest of the story. But to get to the rest of the story, you become the message of love. And that baptism of love is so important. So, so important. So that's the first chapter here, and we're believing that the tone of this might sound a little bit different. But, you know, God is God. I wasn't there. Were you? So, if Paul wrote this, whew, that means it's outstanding and excellent. If anybody else added to it, it's already been canonized, like I said. So it's really not the issue, because Hebrews is phenomenal. And it is definitely a book that we want to spend lots of time in. Feel free to read ahead. But tonight we're just going to have fun with this, to kind of bring this into a sphere of refocusing, you know, where we are for the next step. And I know for the remainder of time, we have about 15 more minutes, we want to worship the Lord, and we want to encourage anyone who has a prophetic word to be able to come and give that while we're worshiping. We're going to try to land this plane at about 9 o'clock-ish. I think other weeks we've gone a little bit later than that, but we're going to kind of move towards 9. So our worship team will come, and if one of you worship leaders has a prophetic word to give based on all that we've said so far, and you're giving a sense, you have a sense that you want to offer this right now, then just come on out here and give that word. So if you have a word,
yeah,
go for it, and then we'll come back and do whatever you do as a worship team.
And just as it's prophesied of Jesus in, I believe, Psalm 22, where his bones were completely out of joint. You could see all of his bones, but everything was out of joint. And in that same way, I sense that the Holy Spirit is saying that I want to heal people who have joints out of place, whether they be hip joints that are out of place, neck joints specifically out of place. I just release the power of the Holy Spirit right now to come and touch your physical body, to bring your bones back into place. Your muscles would relax right now in Jesus' name. And that your ligaments would loosen up right now. I release trauma off of your body in Jesus' name. And I command your body to come into alignment right now with the Word of God. That this happened to Jesus. He bore these marks in his body. Because he bore these marks in his body, he's able to release this to you right now in Jesus' name. According to the Scriptures, you're healed right now. Receive that healing, take it into your body, and begin to speak to your body until this happens to you, if it hasn't happened already. Amen.
I'm going to test it too.
T. Test it out. Just take a moment. Stand up. Check your neck. Check your hip. See if those bones are back into place. If they're not, begin to speak to them. But check it. And if you have a comment, leave it. Leave it in on the comment mark so we can see what's happening. Give praise to God. Amen? Amen.
You know, when this pandemic started, we began to declare out Psalm 91 over you. It's been quite a while since we've revisited that. I want to remind you, often the Bible reminds us, there are four Gospels. Paul gave his testimony clearly three times in Acts. There's always a reason for being reminded of what God is saying to us. Obviously, he did that a lot in the desert, and they didn't listen to Moses as he reminded the people, as other leaders reminded the people. We want to be one that listens and applies and revisits. Revisit the book of Acts. Revisit Hebrews 1 in this season. And pull out for yourself the riches that are in those passages. In Psalm 91, receive this. You might even close your eyes to concentrate as I read this over your life. Pray this over your life by reading it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, not of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Father, we pray this over each person, into each person, Lord. Declare it, decree it, Father, over our lives in this season and the upcoming season, Father. God, we want to repel the attacks of the enemy. We want to repel the pestilence and the plague. We want to repel things that would come from the natural or the supernatural towards our lives, Father, and receive from you and stand in you and be ministered to by angels in order to do that, be ministered to by your word, the Logos, be ministered to by the Rhema revelation of your now word. God, we need it all in this season, and we pray it all into every person watching tonight. And those that will watch this broadcast later, Father, those that will hear about it, Father, we pray that we would stand on the rock in this season and not get off into the shifting sands, but that we would put our roots deep into the waters of living water, Father, coming from your presence into our lives, God. that we would be stronger tomorrow than we are today, and 6 months from now be stronger, so much stronger than this season, Father, because we're going to drink that living water. We're going to live the word. We're going to walk it out by your power as we declare, we decree, we stand on you. We receive from you. We press into you past all the distractions that are available to us, Father. God, help us to binge on you, to hunger for you, Jesus, in this season. And Psalm 91 truly will be over our lives. Your wings, your strong arms will be over our lives. We give you all praise in Jesus' name, amen. If you want to read this psalm this week again, I think I will be going into some of the specifics of this psalm on Sunday, on the broadcast on Sunday and at church on Sunday. So read into it, see what you can discover out of it, and it'll be even more rich when we get back together on Sunday. I guess it's richer, not more rich.
Are you in front of the worship team?
We have a testimony. Ashley Miller is feeling less muscle pain. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Wow, that's awesome. Yay.
Yes, God. Ashley Miller is receiving, or is,
testing,
has less muscle pain. Not receiving muscle pain. She has less. Testimony.
Woo!
Yes, Lord.
Finish your work, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I will never forget the moment I met you, the moment you called my name, pulled me out of the darkness, gave me a promise to never thirst again. never forget.
Bye.
fountain. It's your testimony. It's your life poured out like a river from your side. A river from your side. A river from your side flowing through me. That river from your side. That river from your side. That river from your side flowing through me. Oh, that river from your side. That river from your side. That river from your side flowing through me. Yeah. That river from your side. That river from your side. That river from your side flowing through me. Oh, fountains of love. Fountains of life. Fountains of healing. Fountains of revelation. Fountains of mercy. Fountains of grace from the river. Life flowing from the river. Flowing from the Lamb of God that was slain, who's in heaven. That river of life flowing, flowing from the Lamb that was slain. Jesus, you're the Lamb that was slain. You were slain so the river would flow. We get into that river.
Additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.